Blog Talk Radio. Effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen? So, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Before you with a heart of contrition, knowing We often haven't honored you as Lord and Master of our lives. Your faith for us to come talk to you, to wake up and greet you, or to spend our evenings with you. But we have instead wasted time, futile distractions. You are the rational God who desires to walk with us in the cool of the day, just as you walked with Adam and Eve in those early days of your creation. Forgive us for often seeking to walk alone and ignoring the blessings and joy of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Hallelujah. all the praise done by. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before him. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name, God.
Together. Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Everybody got around. Prison time. Come on.
Yeah, I'm in a worship mood. And I'm inviting you. And that's what Jesus on my mind. I didn't come here to waste time.
Come on.
I'm praising because I'm great. My joy and fear you can't erase. Praising is in my mouth. I sing and shout.
Shout out.
Pray. Come on and pray.
Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Praise God. Devotional message is entitled Be Willing to Follow. Amen. And my scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians 5:7, and it says, we live by faith, not by sight. Psalms 96:6, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Praise be to God. Psalms 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, be willing to follow wherever I lead. Follow me wholeheartedly, glad anticipation, quickening your pace. Though you don't know what lies ahead, I know, and that is enough. Some of my richest blessings are just around the bend, out of sight, but nonetheless very real. To receive these gifts, you must walk by faith, not by sight. This doesn't mean closing your eyes to what is all around you. It means subordinating the visible world to the invisible shepherd of your soul. Sometimes I lead you up a high mountain with only my hand to support you. The higher you climb, the more spectacular the view becomes. Also, the more keenly you sense your separation from the world with all its problems. This frees you to experience exuberating the joyous reality of my presence. Give yourself fully to those, to these glorious moments, awash in dazzling light. I will eventually lead you down the mountain, back into the community with others. Let my light continue to shine within you as you walk among people again. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Amen. Again, praise God.
You're listening to
Praise be to God.
Rising up to a blessing. that changes things. Trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a sunny. Never say never, or come what may, for there's a greater power. And on the right hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer. Changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Amen. Praise God. Jehovah, thank you for desiring to be close to us. Thank you for not only being high and lifted up, but also dwelling with the lowly and with those who are not of a high stature. Thank you for the goodness and depths of your heart, which pours out love time and time again in our life, patience, which you lovingly manifest even in the face of our many dismissals of you. We often walk in the midst of the beauty of your creation without giving you the praise and credit you deserve. Please accept our heart of gratitude right now for all you have made and for your desire to know us fully and to empower us to know you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another. Amen. Grows old.
walked away, came back with those hurts that decided to stay. Too many mistakes in my song, with a hook that kept on going on and on and on. Words filled up my heart with a rhythm unheard and a love.
Thank you. look, score up them. Ah, somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hand because he knows you're going to go get it.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives eternally, the path of righteousness, chosen to serve the King of Kings. The Son of God walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving sin, interceding. The heart of the Spirit takes residence in me,
I will come back with a mighty word from God. Amen. Praise be to God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. Let's assemble. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
Anointing,
Holy Spirit,
deserve. His unmerited favor. And no, I didn't deserve the gift of his grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul forever.
Jesus,
it's sustaining me when I'm in trouble. When I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel him all over me.
Yeah. And no matter,
no matter what the touch, his blood, his blood
always brings me.
Oh. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus.
You gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord.
Sustains me
late in the midnight hour.
Sustaining me
when I can't sleep at night.
Sustains me
trouble.
God is sustaining
trouble on the night.
Jesus sustains me.
Sometimes you freeze.
Word. At this time, I will say a short prayer, and then we will get into our message for evening. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in, may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I ask that you touch Apostle Wiggins, DJ's mother, and touch them on from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, heal them where they need to be healed, and bless them where they need to be blessed, O Lord. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Okay. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from Mark chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 16 through 20. Amen. That's Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it's one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. The shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat preparing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Amen.
Call from Thomas McGee.
Hello? Hello? Yes. No, I'm preaching this evening. Sister Barbara Cook is at the rehearsal thing. Can't do it right now. All right. Amen. Sorry about that. So we often assume that Jesus' disciples were great men of faith from the first time Jesus met them, but they had to grow in their faith just as all believers have to do. So this is apparently not the only time Jesus called Peter, Simon, James, and John to follow him. He also called them in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42, for two other times. Although it took time for Jesus' call and his message to get through, the disciples followed. Amen? Now, in the same way, we may question and falter. Never stop following Jesus. Amen? My title for this evening is Jesus is Calling You. Is Jesus calling you? My title is Jesus calling you. Amen. The morning broke. Praise God. As the morning broke, the night yielded to day, and the sky turned from black to blue. The first rays of sunshine revealed some hard-working men busy, engaged in their occupation. Those men were used to see the sun rising, used to seeing the sun rising over the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen, and their job required fish during cool of the night. Amen. So when the fish were feeding, after a long night of fishing, all that was left was to clean the catch, mend the nets, and sell the fish to those who sold in the market. Now, being a fisherman was a hard life, but bread on their tables and a roof over their heads. While it was a hard life, it was an important life. All the people in Israel and in other places depended on the catch these men brought back to shore. Now, some of their catch might have been sorted down and transported all the way to Rome. It is possible that Caesar himself would have eaten of the fish these very men caught in the Sea of Galilee. Amen? Now, as they were fishing, their work for the night, as they were finishing their work for the night so they could go home and rest their weary bodies, a man they all know passed by on the shore. He spoke just a few words to them, but what they heard would forever change the course of their lives. Have been the scene when Jesus passed by the boats where Peter, Andrew, James, and John were working. His call to those four men forever changed their lives. The public ministry of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just commencing. Now, one of his first acts is to choose some men to assist him in his work. He was calling ordinary men to do the extraordinary work of God. He is still calling today. He is calling people to come for salvation. He is calling them to come for service. He is calling them. He is calling. I wonder if the Lord is calling you today. Our text reveals something about this matter of the Lord's call. Now, this passage reveals several characteristics in the verses concerning the call of the Lord. I want to examine those characteristics today. If the Lord calls you, you need to know how to recognize his voice. Amen? Praise be to God. So as we look at the characteristics of the Lord's call, I want to ask you this question. Is Jesus calling you? If he has been speaking to your heart about your salvation, your service, or any area of your life, this is your message. God has a word for you concerning his plan for your life. Is Jesus calling you? Let's find out. Notice these characteristics of his call. His call is personal. This is seen in the fact that he walked up to those boats and called those four men specifically. Other boats were anchored on the Sea of Galilee that morning, but he called four specific men in those two specific boats. He called them personally. So it is with us. Oh, man. So it is with us. The call of the Lord is an intensely personal matter. He calls us. He deals with us. And he does so one-on-one. When Jesus called them, he found them working. Now, Peter and Andrew are casting their nets. John and James are mending their nets. It seems that his call to them fit perfectly with their personality. For instance, Peter and Andrew were always casting the gospel net. They were either preaching fiery sermons or they were bringing people to Jesus. They were casting that net. They were busy with evangelism. Amen. Praise God. Now, on the other hand, James and John spent time mending the gospel net to ensure that the fish did not swim away. Their main emphasis seemed to be the progression and growth of the church and the body of Christ. Praise be to God. Now, the same word that is translated mending is used in Ephesians 4 and 12. There it is translated, perfect mending. They were busy with edification. Praise be to God. Now, both of these ministries are desperately needed by the church. The point is this. The Lord designed and gifted each of us individually and for a specific purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 27, he will take us with our strengths and weaknesses, and he will use us to do his work. Not all of us have the same giftedness, but God has a place for each of us to labor. The question is, are you doing what the Lord you to do? Where he has called you to do it? Or are you trying to serve somewhere you should not be? Think about that now. So don't miss the fact that Jesus called men who were busy into his service. He did not go looking for lazy men to carry out his work. Far too many want the Lord to use them, and they sit and wait for him come by. He has already placed you in his family. If you would just look around, you will see that there is plenty of work you could be doing. He loves you, and he will show you what to do and where to do it. Amen? And you can read that in John 5, 19 through 20. If you want the Lord to use you, be busy where you are. When you are faithful where he has placed you, he will eventually open up larger arenas of service for you. 15 and 10. This event describes the second encounter these men have had with Jesus. The first time they met him, John 1, 35 through 42, they were called to follow him in salvation. Here they are called into his service. Now, regardless of what this life leads you into, the most important thing in the world is having that first, all-important meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to meet him in salvation. Hallelujah. Getting saved, however, is not the end of the world. After the Lord saves us, he wants us to move deeper with him. He desires that we become disciples. In Matthew 16:24, Ephesians 2 and 10, regardless of the type of call that comes our way in life, whether it be for salvation, whether it be for sanctification, whether it be for service, whether it be for separation or surrender, call needs to be heeded and never ignored. Praise God. His call is private. Now, when Jesus passed by that day, the real call was felt in the hearts of the four men who left all to follow him. No doubt, their hearts were touched, and they felt a strange power drawing them to go after Jesus. You will notice that neither Zebedee, the servant, any of the other fishermen received the call. Amen. And you can read that in verse 20 of Mark 1 and 20. So it is with any call from God. No man knows what is happening in a person's heart until they make the fact of what God is doing public. His call is personal and private. It is between the Lord and the person with whom he is dealing. Eventually, the Lord had been dealing with the hearts of these men since they had first met him. That explains why they reacted instantly when he called them to follow him. I wonder What is the Lord saying to your heart today? Is he calling you to be saved? Is he calling you to some kind of Christian service? Is he calling you to leave all and follow him? If he is speaking to your heart, do not ignore him, but come to him now and trust him by faith. Praise be to God. His call is public. Now the Lord does his private work, but he gets no glory until his will is worked out publicly. Now these men are called upon to make a public stand for Jesus. They are called upon to publicly line up with him, his preaching, and his program. Though through the years, there have been a few servants of the Lord who tried to keep their love for him quiet. Joseph, in John 19:38, Nicodemus, John 7:51, their attempt at private service did not last long. Amen? God did not save us and call us so that we could hide ourselves away and pretend that we are just like everyone else. His call demands that we take our stand with him, regardless of what others may say about us. Too many are members of the Secret Service. We live in a world filled with people who are headed to hell. They are trapped in darkness. They are lost. And they need help. One of the best ways we can help reach them is to live openly and honestly for the glory of God. We are called to be salt and light, Matthew 5:13-16. In the world, our duty is to live a clean, holy, and public life for the glory of God. The Lord has saved you, and you have never made that fact known publicly. You need to do that today. If you have never followed him in believer's baptism, you need to make that step. If the Lord has called you to be on the job for him, the time to hide your life under a bushel, it's over. Now is the time to go to work for the Lord. In John 9:4, his call is precious. These men were nothing special. They were just common, ordinary fishermen. They were not highly educated. They were not especially wealthy. They were not among the movers and the shakers of the society. Nothing set them apart from the thousands of others who lived around the Sea of Galilee. Yet, God chose them and called them to be the first of his followers. What a privilege they enjoy. This has always been God's way. He locates his finest treasure in the most obscure of places. David, over all his older, larger brothers, 1 Samuel 16, he chose Moses, who at the ripe old age of 80 was a murderer and a fugitive from justice, Exodus 3. He chose Abraham, from all the thousands of men who lived in you of the Chaldees, Genesis 12. He chose Paul, who hated the church and Jesus Christ, Acts 9, 1 Timothy 1 and 15. He chose a small boy and a multitude, John 6. Jesus chooses those whom no one else would choose so that he might get the greatest glory, 1 Corinthians 1 and 27. The very fact that a person gets saved and then is allowed to serve the Lord is a privilege and a blessing beyond comparison. After all, we deserve to be in hell. The only reason we have hope is because of God's grace to think that he would save sinners and then use them to carry out his work is a truth that is precious beyond belief. He takes us like we are, saves us by his grace, and puts us into his service, 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. That is what the Lord does, treasure in my trash. Never take your salvation for granted. What he did when he called you and saved you is a thing more precious that the mind can comprehend. If the Lord is calling you to come to Jesus for salvation, do not spurn his call. If he is calling you to a deeper level of service, do not hesitate, but go full out for Jesus. His call is precious. His call is priceless. These men were called upon some real expensive choices. They were called upon to leave their friends, their family, their fortune, basically the only life they had ever known. They were expected to trade the certainty for the uncertain, the visible for the invisible, the known for the unknown, their ability for their inability, the possible for the impossible. These men knew fishing inside out, but they were helpless when it came to doing that which Jesus was calling them to do. His call was a call that would cost them everything. In the end, all but one would die for this man who was calling them to follow him. This call was a priceless call for every one of them. Yet, they determined that the price was worth paying. The Bible says that they forsook their nets. This word means they served all their service, all their ties with the net. They walked off and left everything behind. Jesus was worth more to them than anything they may have been walking away from. Mark 8, 36 through 37. When the call of Jesus comes in your life and mine, we need to understand that often it will cost us plenty. Of course, his salvation is free. And his power to serve is given to us freely by grace. But the cost of being saved and of selflessness serving the Lord is often a high price to pay. There will be those who will not understand it when you get saved. They will not understand the change in your life. They will not understand the desire to follow him. They will not understand the difference that Jesus makes in your life. They will not understand how you can give up everything to walk with him. It won't make sense to them. And as a result, many will turn their backs on you and have nothing further to do with you. Matthew 10:34-39. He would have us where we value him and his will more than anything else in this world. It will be only when Jesus becomes more precious to our hearts than family, friends, and fortune that we will be able to give him the service he deserves. Sometimes what we are called to give up is nothing more than net. At other times, we are called upon to walk out on things that are really precious to us. We have to come to the place where Jesus is more precious than anything else in the world. If anyone ever tells you that serving the Lord is an easy road, they are lying to you. There will be trials. There will be self-sacrifices. There will be problems. There will be enemies. Even with all the difficulties that rear their ugly heads as we pass through this world, Jesus is worth it all. Is he calling you to be saved? Is he calling you to do service to him? Let me encourage you today to delay no longer, but to call, but to come to him and get busy for the glory of God. His call is powerful. When the Lord's call came, these men left their nets and their profession without question. They did not call to commit to committees, meetings, have a debate, take a vote, inquire about a contract or a length of service. When Jesus called, these men left everything to follow him immediately. They stepped out of their ships. They stepped out away from their lives and went after Jesus, and they experienced a powerful change of life. Their lives were never the same again. When they left their nets, their ships, their incomes, their friends, and their families, they took on a new lifestyle of just doing just what Jesus was doing. Hallelujah. When they started out after Jesus, they began walking his direction to his destination at his speed and his steps. That what serving Jesus is all about. When they walked away, they were never able to make a return to the old life. They tried, but they could not go all the way back. John 21. Jesus changed everything for these men. Their lives were never the same. In fact, Peter, James, and John were martyred for Jesus, and John was boiled in an exile to Patmos. When the call of Jesus comes to a life, whether it is for salvation or for service, it is a powerful call. It results in immediate action. When the Lord calls, he is not looking for a debate. He is not looking for instant obedience, his call begins with it a powerful change that takes place in the life of the one who follows him. This change is so great that a return to the old way of life is difficult. Imagine. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. There are those who have experienced the call of God to follow him. Still, they change. They chose to hang on to the things of the world. In Luke 9, 59 to 62, Matthew 19, 16 to 26. Don't let that happen to you. If he is calling you, allow nothing to stand in your way of experiencing his life-changing power firsthand. If you ever meet him and respond to his call, you will never be the same. His call is profound. All these men knew was the life of a fisherman. When Jesus called them to follow, he made them a promise that was framed in words they understood. He told them they would still be fishing, but from now on, they would be angling for men. Instead of casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee, they would cast the gospel net into the sea of humanity. Instead of a literal net, they would use the word of God. Hallelujah. He promised to take them as they were and make them into what he wanted them to become. And that is just what he did. He changed each of these men and used them, found ways for the glory of God. Jesus caused them to become what they had never been and what they had never intended to be. When his call comes, you can expect some changes to take place. You might think the Lord cannot use you as you are, and you may be right, but he is able to work in our hearts and make us into what he wants us to become. No preacher knows how to preach when he is first called. No one knows how to do what he wants them to do when they are first called to do it. But the Holy Spirit works in the heart of the child of God, and he prepares them for the service to the master. Isaiah 6 through 8, Isaiah was not ready for the task assigned to him, but God prepared him for the call. The best thing you can do is to place the clay of your life into that hand of the heavenly potter. Place yourself at his disposal and watch out. He will use you. After all, the greatest ability is availability. God will use you if you will make yourself available to him. Some of God's most choice servants were the most unlikely candidates. Consider Saul of Tarsus in Acts 7 through 9. He was saved, and he immediately made himself available to the Lord, and God used him in a mighty way. Acts 9 and 6. Think about Peter, Gideon, David, and Moses. If the Lord can use the people like these for his glory, then he can use people like us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. When Jesus came walking by those ships that day. Those four men were not wasting their time. They were casting nets. That was important. Because if you do not cast the net, you will not catch the fish. Two others were mending their nets. They knew that if there were holes in the nets, any fish that would be caught could swim free. They were busy, but they were not doing anything of an eternal nature. In other words, they would have lived their lives, caught their fish, raising families, die, and then forgotten if Jesus had not caught to a new life. When they followed Jesus, their lives instantly posed eternal value. God used them in many ways that still impact the world today. This is what he does to every life he touches. He takes us away from the mundane and the shadow and places us in a position where we can be a part of something that will last forever. As I close, I want to ask you a few questions. Number one, in which world are you laying up your treasures? Number two, would you like to live a life of eternal significance? Number three, is Jesus calling you to come to him today for salvation, for service? And number four, what will you do with his call? Think about those questions. Amen. Now, this altar is open right now. Just as he passed by those boats, Sea of Galilee, that morning, he is passing by your heart right now. I know he is speaking to someone right now. If he is calling you, I'm to come to him is right now. You will you respond to the Lord's call, and will you come to him now? I hope and pray that this message to you as it was on to me. Jesus is calling you today. Respond. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. To follow your walk with Christ. And my benediction for this evening is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with joy, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. when I'll come with our sweet hour of prayer, and at 7 p.m. our very own associate pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bring us a mighty word from God. So God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow. In Jesus' holy name, we do pray. Shalom and good night, everyone. We love you, and we thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. At this time, I will close out with All Belongs to You. Good night. Shalom.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you, belongs to you. I can't
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.